All right, welcome to April 23rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and I don't do this show because I'm bored. Actually, I have plenty of things to do. I do this because I love this country, the good, the bad, and the ugly. See, the bad and the ugly part gives us a chance, because we live in this country, to talk about what is bad and ugly about America and work to change it. One of the many things that makes this country great. So, with that in mind, let's begin the show with a Pledge of Allegiance. So, let's all stand up, face our flags, and put our hands on our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so now on today's program, we'll send a big birthday shout out to James Buchanan.
Coca-Cola replaces sugar with corn syrup and calls it new.
And Harry Truman will have words with Molotov. Okay, so now let's get started, shall we? 1791. Happy birthday, old Buck. The only U.S. president from Pennsylvania to this date, James Buchanan, was elected number 15 in the year 1857. He is also to this date the only president who's never been married, although supposedly he did hook up with Dolly Madison's niece. As a president, he was an overall failure. Doughface Buchanan didn't understand the allegiance that the North would have towards its anti-slavery position and the South's pro-slavery position. He tried to use the Constitution to settle all matters and then discovered the North and South schism was way beyond the Constitution. He tried to make amends between Democrats and the Whigs, but the Democratic Party split and the Whigs dissolved, giving rise to the new Republican Party. He was born to a wealthy family in Franklin County, PA, was elected 5 times to the House of Representatives, served as a minister to Russia, and then for the Senate. He became President James Polk's Secretary of State and Franklin Pierce's minister to Great Britain, where he drafted the Ostend Manifesto. That was an attempt to get Cuba from Spain. He was engaged to Caroline Coleman, whose family was even wealthier than his, and he was accused in the public eye for marrying her for her money. He had an affair with one of her friends, and then Caroline shortly thereafter either committed suicide or died of an overdose from all the opium she took. Anyway, when he was elected president, his top priority was to persuade the people to accept constitutional law as the Supreme Court interpreted it and deal with territorial slavery disputes. The Dred Scott decision was made, and the South celebrated, and the North was pissed. Old Buck tried to get Kansas to be admitted to the Union as a slave state, which angered the Republicans, and Kansas was not admitted. In 1858, the Republicans won the House, and every important bill that they tried to pass was vetoed by the Southern Senate. Buchanan was nicknamed the Do-Nothing President. The Democratic Party split between the North and the South, and the Republicans had nominated Abe Lincoln. The country is splitting in two. Buchanan tried to keep it together legally, but just couldn't. Nobody could. Not legally. At any rate, he retired to his Pennsylvania home after politics and died 7 years later. 1985, New Coke arrives. For nearly an entire century, Coca-Cola was the dominant soft drink. You're welcome, world. Until recently, when Pepsi and other soft drinks started catching up during the Coca-Cola wars of the 1980s, digging into Coca-Cola's market. To counter this, Coca-Cola unleashed one of the worst PR blunders in marketing history and taking their age-old proven secret formula and tossing it in the trash, replacing it with a new formula that tasted more like Diet Coke with a high fructose corn syrup, or HFCs, as its sweetener. The first question everyone asked was, when are you going to go back to the original formula? Since, after all, a whopping 13, as in 13% of consumers actually approved of the change. The second question, of course, was why? Why? Was it because President Reagan's war on drugs? This new formula would ensure that no cocaine from the jungles of Peru would be traced into the Coca-Cola product? Probably not, since Coca-Cola had been free of cocaine since the 1920s. Well, was it just a cheesy marketing ploy to
take the fame but fading away formula from the loyal customers to make the customers angry and denounce the new formula just so the company could reintroduce the original product in order to spike sales. Nope. Company President Donald Keough answered that theory by saying, quote, "We're not that dumb and we're not that smart," unquote. The reaction was terrifying. Protesters, such as the Society for the Preservation of the Real Thing, would rise up and chant, "We want the real thing." Coca-Cola folded, and in July 1985, announced it would reintroduce Coke Classic. But wait a minute. Coke Classic was not the original. It was made with HFCs instead of the more expensive cane sugar. This naturally would lead to the conspiracy theories that switching from sugar to the cheaper corn syrup was the only reason Coca-Cola changed its formula. And we all know how much I love conspiracy theories. And let's face it, some are just better than others. But with Pepsi cutting into Coke's turf, Coke might have had just to cut costs by changing from sugar to HFCs. It's an interesting theory. I'm not saying that's why Coke changed its formulas. I don't have proof either way. But it looks like this is about the real thing as it's going to get. Moving on to 1945. Give 'em Hell Harry delivers the 1-2 punch to Molotov's jaw. Figuratively speaking, of course, this is considered to be the beginning of the Cold War. On April 23rd, Soviet Foreign Minister Molotov met at the White House with new President Truman, and Harry gave him hell, charging Molotov that the Soviets were breaking their post-World War II agreements and that Russian leader Joseph Stalin was needed to keep his word. Molotov couldn't believe it. When Truman was done, Molotov indignantly said he'd never been talked to like that before, and Truman told him if he had just kept his promises, he wouldn't need to be talked like that. Molotov stormed out of the meeting, and that was it. The straight 1-2 punch, as Harry called it, thus sparking the Cold War.
And that about wraps it up for April 23rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DiCristoforo. Check out my website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, and let me know what you thought about today's show on the comment board. Trivia fans, I have a huge multiple choice quiz on presidents, and there's plenty of questions on Old Buck. Let's see how you do. Let me know if you think that the quiz is too easy, too hard, or just complete BS. Was Buchanan our first semi-openly gay president? Cold War fans, did Give 'em Hell Harry win or lose that debate against Molotov? Or is winning or losing a relative term when you're talking about the Cold War? So yeah, let me know what you think. Now, on tomorrow's program, we'll talk about the Library of Congress, Operation Eagle Claw, and the Nolan Ryan Express. So until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. And thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.